Thank y'all for that good singing this morning. Hope everybody's doing okay. Well, I start with my lesson. I put some of these out here on the table on the left where we got the Bible lessons, the weekly Bible lessons. This here is a course that the Apologetics Press offers. Down in Montgomery, they offer this course. And so I'll be putting these out there. I know some of you wanted a different type of study, not necessarily centered around a book of the Bible or the life of Christ, something a little different. This is very interesting. You want to grab you one of these every week. We'll put a different lesson out there. I think this will be a good study for you. All right, y'all be turning your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Hope everybody's doing okay. Good to have our visitors here with us. Last week we talked a little bit about the work of the church and what that was, and we talked a little bit about the fact that the work of the church is not necessarily just doing something, but it's doing those things that God has prepared, God has foreordained, like Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 2. Doing work is good, but doing the work of the Lord is even better. And if we utilize our time to focus on the work of the Lord, then we can be profitable in the kingdom. But we got to know what that work is. So what I want to talk about this morning is, what is the work of the church? Now, you look at that clock says 11:08. So just because I go with 11:30, that doesn't mean I'm going over my time. So just want to point that out to my timekeepers. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 11, the Apostle Paul said this right here. And he gave, talking about Christ when he ascended on high, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Why did God give these offices? Why did he give those that we still have today, such as evangelists, pastors, those would be your elders, and teachers? Why did God give them? Verse 12 says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. What is the work of the church? The work of the church is the work of ministry. Now, what is the work of ministry? You can't really know what the work of ministry is just by looking this word up. If you want to look the word up, that's fine. You can look it up and see all the different Greek meanings to this word right here, but that does you no good. What is going to help you with knowing what the ministry refers to here is looking at how this word is used in other contexts throughout Scripture, and you get an overall idea of how the word is used when it comes to ministry. For instance, the same word here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, is used in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 40. Jesus came into the city of Bethany, and he went into Mary and Martha's home, and they were serving him and serving the other guests of the house. And in Luke 10 and verse number 40, Martha, it says that Martha was distracted with much serving. That's the same word, ministry, in Ephesians 4 and verse number 12. And she approached the Lord and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Martha was serving Jesus. She was serving the other people of the house. And the Bible says that she needed help, and she wanted Mary to come and help her serve. Whatever that consisted of, whether it was serving food, whether it was cleaning, whatever it was, she was ministering to Jesus and the other people of the house there. Okay? The word is also used in Acts 6 and verse number 1 when it came to the daily administration of food or distribution of food. This verse here says that there was a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Both of these people were Jews, but the Hellenists were Jews who lived in a Greek-speaking culture. And the Hebrews would be considered your native Jews. But anyway, the Hellenists felt like they were being neglected in the daily distribution or the daily administration of whatever they were administering, most likely food. So in this context here, the word ministry or ministering has to do with the idea of serving food or serving some needed object, needed item that these people, you know, needed in their lives. Okay, so we see in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 4, this ministry had to do with them serving in whatever capacity. Right here we see it was serving something, serving food or serving clothes or administering food or clothes or distributing these things to people who had need. And also in the same context, after these Hellenists were complaining, they came to the apostles and they told the apostles about it.
In verse number 3, the apostle said, well, we're not going to see about this matter. We want you to figure out 7 men among you who you can put over this. And the apostle said, what we're going to do is we're going to give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Same exact word used in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12. In this context here, it has to do with the teaching of the word. It has to do with the teaching of the word, okay? In Acts chapter 20, verse number 24, the apostle Paul said, he was talking to these elders and he said, I know what's going to happen to me. I know I'm going to be bound and chained. I know these bad things that are going to happen to me. But Paul says, none of these things move me, nor do I count myself dear, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord. And what was the ministry? To testify the gospel of grace. The gospel of the grace of God. Paul said ministry had to do with testifying the message of the Lord to individuals. And in Paul's case, it would have been the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 11, verse number 29, after Agabus told them about the famine that would come to the city of Jerusalem, some of the disciples in Antioch said this right here. It said that the disciples, each according to their ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. The word relieve there is the same word in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12. The same word ministry. Here is used of relief of these Christian brothers and sisters sending money to the Christian brothers and sisters in Judea to help them out with the upcoming famine that was going to take place. Okay? So, the idea of ministry has a wide range of things. Paul also talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 12 when he talks about our giving and how our giving is used to send support to the needy brethren in the body of Christ. It's an administration. He also says it's proof of the ministry. When we give and the money that we give is used to help other brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need, he said it's a ministry. And he says when you do this, people glorify God for the obedience of your confession. So people look at the ministry that we have going on, the things that we do, and they glorify God because they see the ministry that's going on. They see the work of the church or the work of the ministry going on in our lives. Okay? So there's not one definition for the word ministry. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And these differences of ministries that we see throughout Scripture, they fall under these categories right here. The teaching of the gospel, the serving other people, or the taking care of the needy. Traditionally, in the body of Christ, we have categorized these in 3 different areas. The area of evangelism, the area of edification, and the area of benevolence. And I think that's appropriate. And what I want to do this morning, I want to look at these 3 areas right here as areas of work, as a work of ministry that God has preordained that all of us, not should be, must be involved in order to be pleasing in the eyesight of God. Okay? So let's look first of all at the area of evangelism. This is the primary focus of the church right here. This is what every member of the body of Christ should be involved in some way or another. It's the primary work of the church. Why? Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 12. He talks about the fact that all people had sinned in verse number 23, 9 through 12. He talks about the fact that there is none righteous. They all have left. They all have gone astray. So the reason why it's important that we all are involved in the primary work of the church, the primary work of evangelism, is because of sin. Now, how do we do this? Jesus says, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew and to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. The way we evangelize is we take the gospel that we shouldn't be ashamed of, and we give it to people in order for the gospel to move sin out of their lives if they're obedient to the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, we do this by going and making disciples of all nations. Now, the word nation there does not mean other countries. When Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse number 19, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, he was not talking about other countries. That word there in Matthew 28:19, nations, is where we get our English word ethnic. And what he was saying was this right here. The Jewish race is now getting the message, but eventually I want this message to go to the Gentile race. The word has to do with race. All nations just simply means the person in your back door. When Jesus says go into all nations, he was saying to go to all races of people, no matter where they are. If they're in your back door, if they're down the street, if they're across town, or if they're in another country. But all nations there does not mean other countries. It simply means any race of people who need the gospel, we are to take that gospel to them for the purposes of getting rid of sin. Mark 16:15, Jesus says, preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. By the way, don't try to take notes and follow me. I've got some papers for that. As a matter of fact, Alex Madison, take my keys.
Colin, I'll let you slide this time with the keys.
Take my keys. Go over in the copier room. There's some papers in there, a big stack of papers that have all my slides on them. I need you to bring them out here for me and set them on this table. I got all these slides printed out just for you because I know it's going to be a lot of information and it's going to be tough for you to take notes and keep up. So kind of follow along with me so this stuff will make sense to you this morning. Okay? So we evangelize. And how do we do that? Or what do we evangelize? What do we tell people? Yes, we tell people the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says in verse 1 through 4 that the gospel has to do with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And we should tell people that. But that's not all we tell people. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 10, what we should be telling people. And he says we should be telling people the innumerable aspects of God's wisdom. Now, what does that include? When you think about the many aspects of God's wisdom, that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. How it played out with Adam and Eve. God's plan after they sinned. The flood in Noah's day. God's plan after the flood. The rainbow that's in the sky. His plan with Abraham and Isaac. His plan with Abraham sacrificing his son. His plan with Israel in Egyptian bondage. The plan for Mount Sinai. The plan of the Ten Commandments. The plan with the children of Israel going through the wilderness unto the land of Canaan. The plan with Jesus coming on the scene. The plan with him preaching the gospel. His death, his burial, his resurrection, the establishment of the church. All of these things have to do with the many, many innumerable aspects of God's wisdom. And those are the things that we should be teaching people in order to let them get a full view of what God has done for mankind. Okay? And it's important that we teach people that so they can understand what God has done for them and for us. Now, here's the practical aspect of it, evangelizing. What works can you get involved in when it comes to evangelizing? Well, set up Bible studies. You may not teach a Bible class, but you can set up a Bible study. You may not teach a one-on-one Bible study, but you can set up a one-on-one Bible study. You can have a meal in your home, invite a friend or a family member over to your home for study, and invite one of your brothers or sisters in Christ over to your house to conduct that study for you. You see, as we studied this morning in Bible class, in the parable of the talents, Jesus does not judge us based upon other people's abilities. He doesn't look at us and say, well, you should be doing what somebody else is doing. He doesn't look at that. What he does is he looks and see, are you using the abilities that you do have? And everybody in this audience this morning has an ability. Everybody. I don't care how young or how old you are. I don't care what your status is. Everybody here has an ability to do something. And what you do is just as important as what someone else does over here. You remember in the story? The man who had 5 talents got the same reward as the man who had 2 talents. Why? Because God judges us as individuals based upon whether or not we use our abilities. So looking at this list, where do you have the ability to plug yourself in at? Conducting a Bible study, supporting outreach efforts. When we have outreach efforts here at the congregation, just your presence to be here at that event is you using your God-given ability to support the work that's going on. Attending an evangelism class. This coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have an evangelism workshop. Remember, the primary work of the church is evangelism. If you want to learn more about being a better teacher of the gospel and where you can plug yourself in, you need to be here for that. It's our primary work. And it starts Friday. The schedule is on the news and notes. And so being here for that, learning how to be a better teacher of the Word of God so you can bring people to Christ is very, very vital. Okay? Bible class is designed to equip our members and making sure that we're here. When we stress for you to be here for Bible class and for Wednesday nights, we're doing that not because it benefits us, but because it benefits you. And it helps you to be a better worker in the body of Christ. So where can you plug yourself in? So we move from evangelism and we go to edification. What's the purpose of edification? It equips and it sustains the members for the primary work. Okay, and that's important too. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12, where Paul says this right here, that the equipping of the saints was for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body. The edifying of the body is very important. That word edify there simply means to build. It carries the idea of someone building a house. Or in that day and time, the building of the temple, the stones that were put on top of one another to build the temple. Let me show you a couple of examples. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build. That's the same word. I will build my church. In Matthew 24, when they came out of the temple, the apostles turned around and looked at the temple, and they showed Jesus, according to this verse here, the buildings of the temple. They were looking at how beautiful the stones were that made up the temple. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 9, Paul said of Christians that we are God's fellow workers. By the way, look at this right here. We are God's fellow workers. When we are doing the work of ministry, the work of the church, you are working right alongside of God. He is right there actively taking a part in the work with you and I. Paul said, we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. We're God's building. That's why we need edifying. That's why we need constantly building up. Because we are God's building. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 20 through 22, Paul says that we were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone in whom the whole building is fitly joined together. And it grows up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so you and I, as a part of the body of Christ, we are living stones, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. And we have to constantly be built up in the body of Christ in order to be effective in the work of the church. And Paul says we should be pursuing all the time the things that build each other up. Look at this verse. Paul said we ought to pursue the things which make us of peace and the things whereby we are edified. Notice closely at that verse, what that verse says. Paul says we should be pursuing the things that build up the church. That means I should spend more of my time in trying to figure out how to build the members of Austinville up, rather than tearing the members of Austinville down. If you have something negative to say about a person one time, then you should have 5 positive things to follow up about that person. We have to build each other up for the work and keep each other built up for the work so that our attitude of enthusiasm will never ever leave us, or we don't feel as an outcast, that people don't want to work with us or be around us. That can be detrimental when it comes to the work. And it happens a lot of times in the body of Christ, sadly. Why do we need edification? Why do we need to be edified? Look at this verse right here. We'll come back to why. But in this verse right here, Paul talks about some ways in which we are edified. In this verse here, Paul talks about the fact that the Word of God builds you up. He told the elders that I commend you to the Word of God. to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Why we encourage you to study all the time? Because the word of God, studying it, it builds you up. It edifies you for the work. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 14:33, verse 3, Paul said that prophesying edifies the saints. Now, prophesying can also mean proclaiming the word. So the teaching in Bible classes, the preaching of the word of God, it edifies you. It builds you up. It sustains you for the work. That's why it's important to be here so you can get that edification. Ephesians 4:29, Paul said, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but such as is necessary for edification, for building up. If we are to say anything about each other, it should be the things that build up each other and not tear each other down. Let me tell you something. People in the body of Christ who tear down their brothers and sisters in Christ, I think they're going to have the worst judgment by sowing discord and tearing down their brothers and sisters in Christ. You do not bother the children of God. You do not tear down the people who are made in the image of God, the people who Jesus died for on the cross. I don't care how you feel about them. You don't tear them down. Paul says, don't let any corrupt word come out of your mouth. We always going to find things we don't like. I'm sure if I went around this room and talked to some of you, I would find something about you that I don't like about the conversation, as you would find something about me. We're always going to find things that we don't like. It's just the way we're geared. It's the way we're wired as human beings. What we've got to do is get to the point to where we can overlook some of the things that we don't like and try to find the things that we think are good and the things that we do like and speak on those things. Because it's those things that's going to build each other up and encourage each other for the work. I can't tell you the number of people that will not work because of something someone said about them. They don't feel comfortable being around those people. It causes so much division in the body of Christ. But Paul said we need to be edifying each other. In verse number 16, Paul also said this is another form of edification. It's when every joint, each one of us in here, we are a joint. Paul said every joint supplies something. What are you and I supplying for Austin Beale? You say come here on Sunday and Wednesday. That's not supplying anything for Austin Beale. When we come here for Sunday, it's for our benefit. The work of the church doesn't start until we leave here. So the question is, what are we supplying for Austinville once we leave here? What extra things are we doing? Because it's those extra things that we supply that causes edification. Paul said, according to the effectual working of every part and it that does its share, and when every part does its share, it causes growth in the body. Now, people wonder why the church is not growing. And people say, well, the church is just not growing in the 21st century. It's just not growing in our day and time. Things have changed. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't but one reason the church is not growing. And that's because the church is not working. That's it. And I'm not talking about Austin. I'm talking about the church in general. That's only one reason the church is not growing. And it's because every joint, every part, is not doing its share. That's the only reason the church is not growing, unless God lied right here. The Lord said, when every joint and every part, that is every member here, does his and her share, you will see growth in the body and edification as well. But everybody has to do their share. How can you do your share when it comes to edification? Attending Bible classes, attending special classes that we have set up. We have a Monday night for the master coming up on the 4th that I encourage as many people as possible to be here for. We're going to be talking about where you can use your abilities for the Lord and for the work of ministry. Being here for worship. Supporting outreach efforts, studying your Bible, praying for each other, and just walking up to each other saying a nice thing. These are ways that you can plug yourself in to the work of edification. And then lastly, the work of benevolence. The work of benevolence just simply shows our care and our love for everybody who's in need. It's one said, and I believe it's true, no one cares about how much you know until they care about, until they know how much you care. So benevolence shows people that we have a heart of giving, we have a heart of love, we have the heart of Christ. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, Paul said, let us not grow weary in what? Doing good. For in due season you will reap if you do not faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Do good to all men. That is Christian and non-Christian. Let us do good to all men, especially Christians, especially those of the household of faith. So when it comes to the idea of benevolence, that simply means that as a congregation here at Austinville, we are involved in doing good to our community. Jesus did the same thing. In Acts 10, verse number 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And the Bible says he went about doing good. Luke 4, and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Christ because he had anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. And he had sent him to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captive and to recover sight to the blind and liberty to those who were oppressed. James chapter 1, 26 and 27 says, if there is any among you who does not bridle his tongue, but they think they're religious, this person's religion is vain. Watching what we say to each other. Being edified. Paul says, if you can't do that, but you do the opposite, your religion may be vain. And he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. We're going to be talking about this on Monday night for the Mass. Visiting orphans or the fatherless and the widows and their affliction. My question, how many of us have done that? How many of us have checked on the fatherless? How many of us have checked on the widows? I have to ask these questions because I have to bring the gospel that was given in the first century to the 21st century. Many of these things that we hand off to one person, it's just simply for structural reasons, to be organized. But they're not limited to that one person. To say that visiting the orphans and widows and their troubles is limited to one person is to say that pure religion is limited to that one person. No, if you want your religion to be pure and undefiled, God says, check on the fatherless. Check on the widows. And keep yourself unspotted from the world. Are we doing that? This is a part of the work of the church, the work of ministry. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 44 and 45, those people who had believed on the day of Pentecost, they were all together, they had all things common, and the Bible says they sold their possessions and goods, and they divided them among themselves as everyone have need. This is a work of benevolence to take care of our members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 16, 2 and 3, this was the whole point of collection. The whole point of collection in the first century. The whole purpose of collecting in the first century that we have examples for was for evangelism, edification purposes, and benevolence. That's it. Now, we have chosen to take the collection through liberty that God has given us and use it for other things, which is fine. But the things that must come first our evangelism, edification of the body of Christ, and benevolence. Paul said he was going to come and get this collection to carry it as a gift to Jerusalem. In Romans chapter 15, verse 25, Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. The work of ministry, the work of the church. Why? Because as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12 through 13, when people see us involved in the work of benevolence, they glorify God. They glorify God. Just like Matthew 5:16, letting our light shine before men so they can see our good works and glorify our God, which is in heaven. Now, how do you do that? How do you get involved in benevolence? That depends on you. There's a story in Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 43 of a lady named Tabitha or Dorcas. Do y'all remember what she did? She made quilts, she made coats and jackets. She died. When Peter came to the city, the people were crying. They came to Peter showing him the beautiful coats and quilts that Dorcas made for him. Do you know why Dorcas made that? Do you know why she did that and why you don't read about her door knocking? And she could have been door knocking. I don't know. She could have set up Bibles. I don't know. But we read about her doing this. You know why? Because that was her ability. What is your ability? Now, I skipped over a slide. Let me just rewind this just a second. It'll take me just a minute here with edification. And as to why do we need edification, Galatians 6, 9, because people get tired, y'all. You get tired, don't you? You get weary. You get just overburdened with doing so much all the time. That's a natural human reaction, y'all. I understand. We get tired. And because we're so tired sometimes and stretched thin, we need to be edified. That's understandable. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13, the Hebrew writer says, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make pathways, straight paths for your feet and so that what is lame may not be dislocated but rather be healed. He said, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. How are they going to do that? By edifying. Y'all, we get tired sometimes. We have so much going on and trying to juggle all the responsibilities with our family life, our work life, and the church life. It can be a very difficult thing. That's why we need each other's edification and encouragement more than anything. Because we get tired, y'all. And we need to be edified. In closing, when we look at the idea of benevolence, where can you plug yourself in? Visiting those people that lost a parent, visiting and serving the widows, visiting and serving the elderly and the sick, visiting those in hospitals, soup kitchens for the poor, donations for the poor, being a part of the bags of blessings for the less fortunate, serving our nursing homes, serving our community. These are just a few of the things. Where can you plug your, not as an individual, where can you plug yourself into the body of Christ here at Austinville, into the work of the church, so that you can bring glory to God and glory to His church? Where can you plug yourself in? In the work of ministry. If you need help with that, come to Monday night for the master. We want to try to help you find your ability. Evangelism, edification, and benevolence. It's the work of ministry. It's the work of the church. We must be zealous for this. We must be excited about it. We must always abound in it. And we've got to be careful to maintain it. All of us. We've got to maintain it. Everybody read that side. What work of the church are you involved in? You'd also do. If you say none, I say to you, God bless you for identifying where you are. Let me help you. That the leadership, the evangelists, pastors, teachers, help identify your ability so you can use that for the work of the church. That's why we're here for. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you want to become one through faith, repentance, confession, baptism, then let us help you with that. If you are a child of God and got a lot on your shoulders, carrying a lot, burdened down, or you need the encouragement to be more involved and strength to be more involved in the work, let us help you with that. Whatever your need is, if we can help you in any way, please come to the front and let us pray with you. As together we stand and sing.